Welcome back to Kind of Funny's The Last of Us Breakdown. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Tim, why did the rooster cross the road?
To get to the other side?
To prove he wasn't chicken.
Damn, son! That got me. That got me early on this Monday morning, Big Daddy Greg Miller.
Hi, I got no eye in the
You don't?
Blessing never tells me any of the bits he's going to do. He raises his chair up 4 feet. You know what I mean?
What's wrong with
tall daddy today?
I just want to be on your guys' level. I want to be your guys' height for a day.
Jen had me do this thing yesterday walking into the grocery store where she wanted me to film from right in front of my face, and she filmed right from front of her face to try to show each other the different perspectives. I've never heard of doing that. I didn't think it looked that different, but I thought it was a bad payoff to the entire thing. You know what I mean? But whatever.
Yeah.
I did it.
I'm proud of you.
You want to see what it looks like walking into Whole Foods?
Huh? Did you get to look up at yourself? Is that the idea of it?
No, like, it's supposed to be like, you know, you have your normal perspective, and when I look at Jen, since she's so much shorter than me, like, I see how close she is, like, the oranges or whatever.
I thought it was like you're looking at each other through each other's
No, because as we were walking in, I looked over at Jen, I'm like, damn, you're short. I don't think about it. You know what I mean? But I'm
every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, G is even smaller, right?
Like, yeah.
You should try it when you're looking at each other, where you're like, hey, Jen, record you looking at me, record me looking at you.
Oh, gee, I don't want to know.
Because I've seen,
I've seen
videos of people doing that, and it's all.
Because I've seen you.
Because I've seen you from the bottom. Let me tell you. It's a different angle.
Yeah, I don't want to know that angle. I don't want to know. I just like to be blissfully ignorant about it. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
Yeah, I love how this is turning into an episode of the Kind of Funny podcast, which you can watch later today on patreon.com/kindoffunny. That's pretty cool, everybody.
Yeah.
And guess what? Patreon helps out with a lot of things, not just Kind of Funny podcasts. It also gets you this show ad-free. It also allows you to be a Patreon producer, just like the homies. Trent Berry, James Hastings, Colin Huguenel, Casey Andrew, Nathan Lamothe, Trent Berry, James Hastings, and Colin Huguenel.
Damn, how much do they support? They're getting their name right.
Copy and paste issues going on there, everybody. But that's just how much we love you. Thank you for all of your support there. But even if you don't have dollars to toss our way, that's cool. Watching the show, sharing it with your friends, listening to it, all of those ways of supporting us are equally valid in my mind and in my heart, just not in my wallet. Ain't that right, Greg?
Yeah.
But yeah, you can watch it on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. You could also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Screencast, and we'll be right there for you. I've got some cool housekeeping for you today. Live right now is our Ant-Man and the Wasp in review rewatch that just went up that features Eric Voss from New Rock Stars. It was a great episode. I am so apologetic that I had to introduce him to Nick Scarpino and in review at the same time. Because there's, you know,
Nick drags in review down to a level that's just not fun.
Been saying that for years, you know, and I just feel like there's a level of lore in Kind of Funny in review that, like, I wouldn't will on anybody. But unfortunately, I will it on somebody I respect a lot. And the worst thing about this was he is a professional, so he wanted to know what he was getting himself into. So he watched the previous week's episode of In Review, which
was a good one. That was a good one.
That was Ant-Man 1. Mm-hmm. And that was when Greg and Nick went off the fucking deep end.
Is that the one where they formed the alliance? That is you and Nick? Or you and Andy?
I mean, it is.
I feel like that's every interview.
It's the fourth or fifth time they've formed an alliance against us. Yes, but yes, it was one of those episodes. Anyway, go check out both of those episodes. I think they were both incredible. And yeah, In Review, going to be really cool. We're doing Magic Mike's Last Dance and Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania next week. So we're getting a bit of a double whammy. But in screencast land, there's something really cool coming out this Friday, a little earlier than I would like. But guess what? At 8 a.m., Pacific, I'm going to be live right here reacting to the Fast 10 trailer. Who's going to be with me? I'm not so sure yet. I need to see who I can convince to be here at 8 a.m. Pacific time. But you got to go fast, man. It's about family. Bless. You know what I'm talking
about? It's about family.
It is.
Got to go fast.
You really do. It's my favorite thing in the world. But that's not what we're talking about today. Today, we are talking about The Last of Us on HBO, Episode 4. We're going to start off spoiler-free real quick, get some of that stuff out, and then boom, full spoilers for the entire Last of Us franchise, games and otherwise. Greg Miller, let's start with you. What'd you think?
I thought this was a great episode of TV. Maybe good. What I was left with is this is the first episode of Last of Us that I didn't feel was like an oh my god event, where I was like at the end like, holy shit, I've been rocked and I need to talk about this. This felt like an episode of TV, which is good. And again, like, don't get me started on Joel and Ellie and seeing their relationship develop and yada, yada, yada. But then getting into the villains, quote unquote, or the other side we'll talk about here, I was not let down by, but I felt like, oh, okay, like this feels like not well-worn territory, but like, okay, like we're giving background to what, I'm trying not to be spoiler, what sets these people on their path, whatever. Well, spoiler-free thoughts are like, I had fun and enjoyed it, but this is my least memorable episode so far, which is bound to happen somewhere, and I didn't walk away going, oh my God.
Yeah, bless.
I felt for me this was the least exciting episode, but it was an episode that was very much needed. We talked about this last week of, all right, where do you fill in this episode in terms of where we're at in the overall story of The Last of Us and where we're at coming off of episode 3, right? And going into, hopefully, you know, we'll see, going into the future of The Last of Us. I feel like they accomplished everything they needed to accomplish in this episode. This episode for me was all about Joel and Ellie and their relationship and developing that. And I think the choices they made to develop that relationship in the show versus how they do it in the game are interesting, but I think for me worked a lot. I like that. I like the action. I am interested in some of the characters that they introduced, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in the spoiler section, but overall I really enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of right there with you guys where this one didn't feel like an event as much, and I wonder, yeah, there's some spoiler stuff we'll get into in a second, but I definitely really enjoyed this, but it felt like a really good Walking Dead episode as opposed to like this is a Last of Us event thing, and I don't mean that in a bad way at all.
Nope.
A good episode, and like Les was saying, I really like the changes they're making. I love how fresh of an experience this feels like, getting characters we're not familiar with and kind of fleshing out the world in a way that we all kind of wanted to see. But really, to me, the shining star of the show continues to be the relationship between Joel and Ellie and how these characters are the same, but also how they differ from the ones that we know. And I think that the way that their relationship is building in the show is very, very rewarding. Like, I feel like we are getting such a good version of a dynamic that we're so familiar with that I love that I'm looking down the pipeline of the episodes we have left, and I'm like, I'm excited to see how much different it's going to end up being, because it does seem like there's enough there that's like, oh yeah, they really are bringing, both Bella and Pedro, bringing their own vibe to this that we've now had for hours with these characters, and we're going to have for many more. And I just think that they're really kind of nailing it of giving us exactly what we want, but also the things that we didn't know we would want to ask for.
Yeah, it's fun being here in the show. Now we're past episode 4, and my brain can't help but to do the thing where I'm doing the mathematics of, all right, there's 5 episodes left. There's this many chapters left in the game. What are they going to cut, especially when it seems like they're injecting a little bit more new content? I think that's the thing that I'm a bit more excited about, and I know that's like just the happenstance of it being an adaptation, right? And like me, this is one of the few times where I'm like, yeah, I've experienced the thing that's being adapted, so now I'm like thinking ahead in terms
God
of
God knows you're not reading the book.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not touching these books before I watch these movies. Shout out Hunger Games. But like, yeah, it's interesting to see the ways in which things differ. And I think for me, you know, talking about how this is one of the less exciting episodes, I think it comes back to the necessity of, I think this episode had to happen in the way that it is, right? Where we got the peaks, right? We got the hills that especially was episode 3, right? And even episode 2 and 1. I feel like you need the valleys to balance that out. And I feel like this was, for me, a very good valley, because I was never bored while watching this episode.
Of course.
And I was never like, oh man, when's this thing going to happen? When's this thing going to happen? I was still engaged throughout my whole experience.
Can we transition to spoilers?
And we are now getting full spoiler mode. Greg, go.
So I'm with you on everything you're saying. And I think, again, it's weird because, of course, not every episode can be a 10 out of 10. Not every episode can be a home run. You have to have these valleys, like you're talking about it. So in terms of critiquing the episode, what I found myself at a loss, not a loss for it, but a struggle with, was like, Joel and Ellie, I love so much. And I don't mean like historically, I mean what Pedro and Bella are doing in this series, right? And so to see them start growing, to see him, you know, at the end break at the joke, her break out the joke book, which is just amazing in general, right? To see a scene, you know, shot for shot, scene for scene, line for line, recreation of the magazine and shit in the back. I was like, oh my God, they're playing the song. I was like, oh my God, this is so great. What I was then not let down by, but I guess didn't want, and of course, Neil Druckmann is the king of, I'm going to give you something you don't want and make you love it by the end, was the Kathleen Perry stuff. Mm. Was like, we get there, and it, like, to your point of like, it's a good episode of The Walking Dead, where it's like, okay, like, I get it. This is another group of survivors who have banded together, who are now man's inhumanity to man, and they've, you know, like Kathleen, oh, but she kills her own doctor, and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, it was this whole thing of just like, I was like, I really wish this time was still with Joel and Ellie. I'd rather still be with them than this character that I don't feel a need to hang out with. I get. And I feel like if I would have crossed paths with her and Perry, I would have gotten them then there too. And to the point even of like, at the end, well, at the credits roll, and Jen was immediately just like, this Kathleen lady seems kind of dumb. Why are people listening to her? Yeah. And I was like, oh, people just want to lead her, yada, yada, yada. And then in the after the show, they talked to Tommy, Jeffrey Pierce, Perry in this episode, Tommy in the game, Jeffrey Pierce, the guy with the really cool beard and the really cool hair. And he's like, I'm a military man. You know, Perry's a military guy. And so he falls in line with Kathleen. And I was in the same thing of just like, putting me with Kathleen made me not respect Kathleen and not really understand how she's the one everybody's listening to. Right? Of just like, I get the blind, it's a horrible situation. We've overthrown the government. We're all on our own. So you come out and like, clearly this is the work of Henry. Like, you can just lie and everybody's gonna be like, yeah, it is. But like, even her conversation back and forth with the doc, I was just like, you're not actually a scary leader. You seem like a scared person trying to lead, which I get, but I didn't see reflected in the other characters interacting with her, nor did I see her change on a dime and be like, oh, I see why she's putting up a front to Perry, putting up a front to everybody else, and this is why they're listening to her. On both sides, she seemed kind of like, meh. I was like, well, why would anybody follow you on this thing? And so it's like, eh, I don't buy you as, again, I know this isn't what they're trying to do. I don't buy you as a villain, even though I know you're not a villain. You're a person who overthrew the government trying to do this thing and blah, blah, blah. And like, now Joel and Ellie are just in your crosshairs. I get it, but it's just like, can we get back to Joel and Ellie? I would have rather seen Sam and Henry earlier this episode, to your point of like, oh, I'm doing the calculus too of how many episodes we have left. And I'm like, okay, I don't really want to spend two episodes with these people.
And that's the thing is, this feels a bit like a victim of them trying to translate the Pittsburgh chapter, which is now Kansas City, into TV. And we talked about this last week. Is like, Pittsburgh is, in the game, is mostly action, right? It's mostly you sneaking around. Yeah. It's like, how much story are you going to interject into that? Is that going to be a full episode, right? Like, where are those twists and turns going to be? It feels like a victim of that. And then also, sort of a result of, I think, Neil coming off of making The Last of Us Part 2 as well and wanting to humanize villains more and wanting it to be a thing of when you have that initial encounter with the hunters and Ellie's like, we're going to stop and help him. And Joel's like, no. And then, like, you know, goes forward. And it's that same scene from the game, right? You get into that back
even
and forth.
Even though I missed the line, man. Oh, I ain't even hurt.
I really wanted the line. I'm trying not to get in the habit of like complaining when lines I really like in the game aren't in the show. But that's a line I really would have liked to have there. But when they encounter Brian and Ellie shoots Brian, right? And Brian's like, I can't move my legs.
That
like,
was awesome.
Like, is yelling for mom.
I was like, oh,
that felt so Last of Us Part 2 versus Last of Us Part 1 in the way that they're trying to make it so that, hey, hunters, they're not just bad guys. Like, they're bad guys with moms, right? Like, they're bad guys that have families and all this stuff.
Like when they kill the dog or whatever. Shadow!
Oh, my God. Comment. But yeah, like, I think they're going for that, and I think they're trying to turn the hunters into that, which is why I forget the name of the character who's the leader.
Kathleen.
That's why, you know, I think you have the character of Kathleen, right, to give the hunters a bit more backstory and give them a bit more motivation. But yeah, I think to your point, we're going to get them for, I think, this episode and maybe next episode.
Looks like it,
and
yeah.
I doubt we'll see
and
them
it's
again.
Like, was, how, you know, again, I never want to act like I know everything because I don't, obviously, and obviously this is why I just talk about shit and don't make it. But like, I bet next episode, as we saw, right, is they get into a full-scale thing with Sam, Henry, last it was Joel and Ellie, and there's a shootout, and then guess what happens? All those infected break out, including the big old bloater behemoth, whatever they call him, I forget, whatever. And it's like, okay, cool, and that's like, they have to band together to do that, or it kills the Kathleen's group, and we get away, and yet it's just like, my other thing, too, is I was like, doing the calculus, I'm like, does this lessen David? You know what I mean? Like, when we get to David in this, are we going to be like, oh, we've already met one jilted person who was normal until all this happened and da-da-da-da-da?
I don't think so, and I'm with Bless in the sense that I think The Last of Us 2-ization of the storyline of the Pittsburgh section of the game, I thought that I believe I see the breadcrumbs they're laying down, and I'm like, I'm here for it. I'm not ready to be like, I don't like her and don't like this yet.
It's not that I don't like it. I don't want to get in that boat, because I don't want it to be like, I'm saying this episode's bad.
Exactly. I mean, I think we're all on the same page with this, of this just being like a lesser episode for a multitude of reasons. I do think that this is now the first episode that hasn't had a major death. It hasn't had a, here's a character we actually really care about and now they're dead. We see the doctor get shot. That kind of just feels weird. That just felt like growth.
That felt like a Walking Dead moment.
It did. Yeah. Not a great moment. It just kind of felt like, okay, this is just something that has to happen to show
that
Kathleen will do anything.
And for the record, I have not listened to the HBO podcast, so if they go this way, I don't know if they would or whatever. But I would say, we say this every episode of this show, right? Every episode is about love, right? It's about love and yada, yada, yada. I think the death happened off camera for this episode, and it's the love Kathleen has for her brother. Her brother being beaten to death in that cell is the death that they would say is a major death in this, that's then working its way backwards now. You've already seen what happens when we have a character get killed that these people love and what happens to them in the immediate aftermath of it. What happens when it's killed, you know, somebody gets there and then they overthrow the entire fucking government because of it and Fedra because of it, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, interesting.
That's the catalyst death here, and that's the love I think they'd probably talk about here.
I think that this one just didn't hit as hard for me because it didn't feel like it had the big moment, and we know that this is just halfway done. So it kind of feels weird. We know that episode one and two were combined to just be what we got as episode one. This kind of feels like without having seen next week's episode, I would have preferred to have this and next week as one kind of like,
100%.
Let's get it through. Because now it does just kind of feel like, oh, we're still going to sit here. I will say to your point about seeing how easy it is to look at the next week on and come up with the story. I feel like so far, every time we've seen stuff, we've been really wrong 100%. Or led astray about how much action there's going to be. And I do think it's funny that for a zombie show, quote unquote, it's the action episode like this that we say is the more fillery one. Because it's like to us, the action is the filler, you know, and it is the moments between Joel and Ellie kind of having their dynamic really form. I think that this episode was required for those reasons more than other things, but I do really like the naming the characters like they did in Last of Us 2 to like make you care about them more. But building up Kathleen as this Walking Dead style villain, just because that is language that we're familiar with using when it comes to these stories, I think in comparison to what we're going to get with David, I wouldn't be surprised if this section ends with Kathleen not necessarily being even as bad as she seems right now to Joel and Ellie.
I legitimately don't think she's bad. Like, I think that she is the villain, she's the antagonist, right, for Joel and Ellie's protagonist right now. But I think we all know Fedra sucks, because, well, I mean, we're told Fedra sucks, and we see it to a degree. But then the fact they beat her brother to death in a cell probably for nothing, right? And then it's that you had the doctor, and you had Henry, and you had these people on the inside who were ratting them. Like, you know what I mean? I see her love for her brother. I understand what is driving her emotional journey here. And so I don't look at her as a villain at all. And so, like, yeah, we're going to get to David, and, like, maybe we got a whole flashback episode where David's just a chill dude, you know what I mean? Really good at barbecuing. Really good at barbecuing, right?
See, that's what I think would be lessening David, because David, I think, is the peak of how much humanity is
like
lost.
Fucked up people can
sure.
be,
you know? So I'd be very surprised if they go that route for David.
I wouldn't like it, but I also wouldn't be surprised, because I feel like that's where we're at now with The Last of Us and with the direction they've taken the franchise of. I do think that as much as they can, they're going to try and inject humanity into all these characters. And maybe it's not all, right? Like in The Last of Us Part 2, spoilers for The Last of Us Part 2, you get to the last few hours of that game, and there are some people that are objectively bad, right? Like, these people are pure evil people. I think David could fit in that, and I would like for him to fit in that, because I think that gives, like, this true villain that you can fight against in that portion of the game. But yeah, I think for me it comes back to what purpose does Kathleen serve in, like, the overall portion, like this portion of the story. Because right now, when we cut to her the first time, I was like, oh, who's this person? And there was no point during the episode where I feel like it was totally justified in terms of, all right, we're cutting back to this person. I am not that interested in this person's story. Thankfully, like, it wasn't most of the episode wasn't that, and so it's not a big critique for me. And maybe next episode they really go hard and make me care about what's going on.
It'll be interesting to see how they play with it, because, like, you figure to a degree, right? She's a lesser Marlene. She's a insurgent leader that won. They've taken over. Like, you flip the script and Marlene takes over Boston, right? And then somebody comes through and kills those people, and then they're off on the. You know what I mean? Like, you could see the roles be switched over there and stuff. It's just that. Like, I have a Marlene.
Yeah.
I have a David. Like, I just want to see Joel and Ellie go make quips and go across the country and do cool things.
And that's my thing. All that said, I really love this episode for the Joel and Ellie back
and forth. Of
course. This is the first episode.
Seeing their relationship, right? Yeah.
Like, I mean, episode one was the build-up. Episode two was them and Tess. Episode three was Bill and Frank. To get an episode that starts off with Joel and Ellie, and for the most part is Joel and Ellie, and them, you know, Ellie finding the pun book, right, and making the jokes, and Joel filling her in more about, like, hey, this is what the world is, right? And, like, them getting into the sequence of, hey, put on your seatbelt, getting to the action sequences, all that stuff, I enjoyed so much.
And again, to watch them act, like, I'm not that guy, but, you know, these are characters we know so well that you can see it in their faces and their reads, and, you know what I mean, like, it was mentioned in the post-show thing with Neil Craig or whatever on HBO, right? Neil and Craig and Bella, but, like, how, you know, as soon as she shoots that guy and goes around, Joel, like, shuts it all down and doesn't comfort her, and she, like, wipes it. Like, I got that watching it, right? Of, like, oh, man, what a switch. And we're going to have to deal with this later. We're going to have to get to this later, you know what I mean? And then to get to it later and have the conversation, like, no, I've done it before, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, shit. Of course,
good.
We're referencing, I assume, Left Behind, right? And what we'll see, the actions and events there as that episode eventually gets there.
I will say the action in this episode I was a little let down by, and it's the same thing.
You wanted the guy with the
I thing. Did, you know? And,
by the way, for the record, y'all can go to hell. Because last week when I told you they weren't going to do the thing and the and like the some motherfucker in the chat was like, it's HBO, Greg. Did they do it? No, they didn't, you fucking idiot. Everybody go watch the live chat from last week. Find that guy and you get him. You let him know he's a fucking idiot.
Other side of that, I do think that there is a chance they're saving a lot of the crazy action things for one scene together. Like, we're going to get maybe in the university.
Kind of like a Daredevil hallway scene?
Yeah, but like get the... The him swinging upside down and the this and everything like in one crazy set piece, but I don't know. I just like in the same way that Bless was saying, like, hey, it's not really fair or worth it to critique every single line that didn't make the cut. Every single scene that didn't make the cut's the same thing. Although there are some things where like it is that intensity that made The Last of Us for us the first time. So I would have appreciated to go a little bit harder in that stuff, but I did appreciate that they replaced that with The Last of Us 2. Humanizing of the characters, because I believed when the dude was calling for his mom, you believe it.
Yeah,
you know, like there was like a real fear of like, these are people.
I did chuckle a little bit though when they're running away and they're doing the like
heartless.
They're doing the oh, they got Brian. It felt a little hammed up there. Like I loved
it felt very Last of Us Part 2 video gamey in a way where I was like, all right, I get it.
Like
but
we
also
already had the moment where he was like trying to talk to Ellie as a person. I think that like really sold me in that moment. But the very video gamey, like they got Brian was just. I don't know. I didn't need that.
When they get you guys, I won't say your names then, all right?
Yeah.
Good.
Tim, they got
I don't want you to fucking Tim, tell my enemy
Tim,
my
they
name.
Didn't get any of the important guys. We're okay, Tim.
On the flip side of lines that they did take from the game, right? I love the porn magazine thing. All the stuff that went down in the car, right? Them
Pitch Perfect.
Ellie handing the tape to play him being like, oh man, this is actually before my time, right? Playing it, the porn magazine, her throwing it out the window and be like, bye, dudes. Like, all that stuff, I thought they nailed. Crushed. And for me, it reminds me of why I love The Last of Us so much, right? Like, I feel like for a lot of adaptations, when we're talking about Marvel or we're talking about anything, I feel like a lot of the big moments are more of the, oh man, this action set piece has to go like this. Oh man, this thing, like, this big event has to go like this. Whereas for The Last of Us, it is the little moments that get adapted a little bit more, right? Where it is, hey, we got to nail the scene in the car where they play the tape and Ellie starts reading jokes, right? Like, that's the stuff that I absolutely love. That's the stuff that they really hit that I really enjoyed.
I love the Cheyenne. He's like, Cheyenne. She's like, really?
Really?
So good. I love when they play with the fact that Ellie was born and raised in this world.
Yeah.
You know, and has an education, but it's not anything like the education that we've had. And
sure.
Those are the moments that we see hinted at in these type of stories every once in a while, and sometimes they go deeper into. But I feel like already just in 4 episodes, I have a better understanding of what Ellie does and doesn't know and what she knows correctly and what she knows incorrectly because Fedra taught her this versus that. Like, I think that they're doing a really good job with that. And even, like, it translating to her with the gun and knowing how to use the gun or not know how to use the gun, how to hold the gun, all that stuff. I was like, this is really, really damn cool. And it allows Joel to be a father figure, a teacher, a mentor, all these different roles for her. Also being a friend, also being like the one person that she's like tied to for this adventure. I just think that they're doing a really good job making it super believable. And already with this version of Joel, I can see him turning to, I'd do anything for this girl.
Oh, sure, you already see it.
And it's just like, last week, it didn't necessarily feel that way. And like, even in the trailer, seeing the scene of them in the car and just being like, you're just cargo.
Yep.
Seeing that scene in the trailer versus seeing that scene in context here, it's like, somehow, even that, I don't believe you saying that, you know? And like, that,
he knows
that's,
he's already following.
That's the power of it, man.
Like, it was the thing with the joke book, right? When she busted out and like his like repulsion and like no to it, I think it was so much of like, don't be endearing.
Yeah,
don't be,
she's
don't
gonna
be
get
cute.
Me.
Don't be
she's
like my daughter. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think going from, you know, you're just cargo from the beginning of the episode to the end of the episode, ending with the diarrhea joke, right, and then falling asleep, and Joel having to turn and like laugh to himself because he knows that it's funny. I think that goes back to what Greg was mentioning about how every episode at some point at its core is going to be about love at some point, right? And I think that is like, I think this episode is sort of a central one or like a pivotal one in terms of Joel turning on
their friendship
for
sure.
Ellie, right?
Yeah, yeah,
like
for sure.
They're actually growing that friendship.
And I guess that's you know, to a degree, a good place for me to be at with it, where it was them growing their friendship, and I wanted more of that. And so I guess I should always leave a show wanting more and not being like, oh, that was too much, or oh, I got just enough is what I wanted from that. Like, I am excited to see the next episode, not so much for what's going to happen with Kathleen and Perry, but instead what's going to happen with Joel and Ellie, and then see this new version of Henry and Sam and what their, you know, their backstory's been introduced.
I want to talk about the new version of Henry and Sam, but I want to do that after a word from our sponsors. Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Look how cool I look. You too can look this cool. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and so much more. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. They'll also provide 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order, and have donated over 20 million meals to date. That's fantastic. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. Exclusively for y'all listeners and watchers right now, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the new year. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDAFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself. These are 5-star rated by over 200,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use the code KINDAFUNNY. Shout out to Honey for sponsoring this episode. Honey is the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. And thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. And we all know there's nothing better than the feeling of saving money. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. When you check out, the Honey button appears and all you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a few seconds, you see the fun little dancing guy. Honey searches for coupons and it finds you the best ones, and then you just watch the prices drop. We here at Kinda Funny have been using Honey for years, and it's helped us save thousands on tech, costumes, food, you name it. Honestly, I just love how easy it is to just set and forget and save. That's the best part. Honey doesn't just work on desktops, it works on your phone too. You just activate it on Safari on your phone, you save on the go. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny.
Whoa! That was that was crazy. You know what I mean? Yeah, it ended, and then it was the same shot. We came right back.
Whoa.
It's like we got blipped back into existence. 5 years have passed. They've already done season 3 of Last of Us.
Real quick, Barrett, can you bring up the picture that I sent you? I don't know if you guys saw this, but I'm sure people out there, someone hasn't. A really cool little thing you might have missed that Joel took Frank's shirt. So we got an origin story for Frank's shirt. This is like the Solo moment in Solo.
How we got his last. I was shocked people didn't catch this. We didn't mention it last week, but I thought it was pretty clear.
Yeah,
but
I did not catch it.
It's more the fact the shirt looks in pristine condition. Like, come on.
Come on.
You know what I mean? How many years
before Frank's a clean guy.
But
I'm sure they're just stealing clothes in the boutique, right?
His sleeping bag smelled good, Greg, okay?
That's because of his aftershave. It's the same reason Ben's head smells good after I get out of the shower, because I put on my beard oil and I kiss him, I hug him and stuff, and then his head smells like that. And then by the end of the day, it smells like filthy baby.
Filthy baby. All right, let's talk about Sam and Henry. What are we expecting? This is so far, we don't have too much to go off, but we're already getting some differences.
I mean, I think the question is, where do we expect next episode to end? Because if you'd asked me last week, I would have said, oh, yeah, we'll get 2 episodes, right, where we get introduced to Sam and Henry in this episode, and the next episode, I would think, is, spoilers for The Last of Us game, is maybe the end of Sam and Henry. I don't know if we can get there in one episode.
I like predicting. This is fun. I think we get separated or they die now. I don't think we make it to the next episode with them. I think we put a cap on that timer. I don't know if it's that. This is going to sound crazy and maybe too gruesome to a degree, but I would maybe think one of them gets caught in the crossfire of the fight next week, and then the other gets attacked by clickers / infected or the behemoth or whatever. Is it behemoth or is it bloater?
Bloater.
Thank you.
Well, in the game it's bloater, unless they change it for the
game. Okay. A bloater next week, I would think, because it's one of those where we've seen people get bit, that important people get bit, right? But we haven't seen somebody get taken down, destroyed by
it. I mean, we actually haven't seen anyone get bit, have we? We've seen people.
Including Tess.
But
I guess.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, we actually haven't really seen it.
So I think a full on attack, to show, again, you could get ripped apart, which was something.
But also,
Tess said earlier,
we haven't seen someone fully turn that we have sat with and learned to care about, and that does happen to a character in this upcoming episode. At least where they're at in the game, right? So
yeah,
I would be surprised if they changed the Sam and Henry fate. I feel like that was such a powerful way in the way that they
did. Do you
think
we get that next week, though, or we limp on? We go to another episode.
How long is next week's episode?
Ooh.
Is it an hour-plus episode?
I'll figure that out. Because
I think if it's a longer episode, maybe you're able to tell that story. Because what? The tough thing is wrapping up the story with the hunt, like Kathleen's crew, mm-hmm. and then also going through the sewers. If you do the sewers, which in the preview look like those
yeah,
sewer stuff in there.
Yeah, definitely doing that.
We see issues the classroom, a little bit there.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, yeah.
But you have to think about it. Like, after this next episode, there's only four, and we still have Tommy's. We still have... the university, Left Behind,
yeah.
David, and then Spring, you know? And that there's a lot to do there.
I think you might need to speed things up, yeah. I would think that the next week... Somebody in the chat says 59 minutes.
Yeah, so the runtime's remaining. So, important to note, the one we just watched was 45, making it the second... shortest that we'll have the entire season. Next week's is 59. The week after that's 59. The week after that's 56. Then 51, and then 43 for the finale. Because
okay. I would think that the way you could possibly do it is to have next episode be in halves. And the way in the first episode, right, the first half was the pre-pandemic story, and then the second half was present day. I would think that maybe the first half of next week's episode is dealing with Kathleen's crew, and that first half ends with the scene in the game where, like, they're getting chased by the tank, and then, like, they jump off and all that stuff. I would think that's first half, and then second half would be sewers followed by getting into that suburb and then the end of Sam and Henry. I know that's a lot to mush into one episode, but... If they do, that's gonna be an action packed episode. That's gonna be a really good episode if they're able to do it.
Yeah, it is rough. Just thinking runtime wise, like I think that's what happens. I think next week we do get the entire Sam Henry story, but yeah, that is just a lot to push in there. Unless
you think we start with a flashback to Sam and Henry and we see them with Kathleen and maybe the fall of it.
That's probably a good way to handle it. Is just change their story to like be more impactful on the front end and then skip some of the other stuff and then just get to that end point. And it could still be impactful. Using Kathleen as well, like making it like extra connected, which yeah, it's a struggle for the gamers out there that want things to go a certain way, but like mm-hmm. people willing to see a different story.
I think back to the scene in the video game where it's Joel with the sniper looking outside the window of the house, and then Sam, Henry, and Ellie like running through. I think that could easily be Kathleen's crew. That like I don't know if it's gonna be one for one because you know a lot of things aren't one for one, but I think if you build it up. You can have the climactic moments of next episode be Kathleen's crew going after Sam, Henry, and Ellie, maybe Joel with the sniper thing, and then like that ends, and then the last 3 to 4 minutes of the episode be, all right, we're good, let's go to sleep, wake up, oh shit, this kid's a zombie.
So the kid, Sam's the kid, right?
Yes,
Henry,
correct.
Henry's the older one.
Yeah,
Sam seemed to have some type of like face paint on, and yeah. seemed to the ASL was going on between the
yeah,
two.
Yeah, that's already been shown that yeah, the Sam of this universe is going to be deaf and uses sign language to communicate. And then yeah, the face paint looked like the cartoons that he was drawing. I think it's just like that's probably his superhero self that he's just doing. It reminded me a lot of Life is Strange spinoff Captain whatever it was. Remember when I talked about
this? I was going to say Captain Boomerang, but I know that's not it.
The episodic thing that was yeah. before Life is Strange 2 that was out there.
No.
I want to say Captain Underpants. That's not right. No, yeah. But that I really said. Chat, well, you get there when you get there. But yeah, I think it's
Spirit.
Just a... Yeah, Captain Spirit. Yeah. yeah. I think it's just a... The face paint is just, you know, what he's drawing there and trying to feel powerful in a, you know, depowered yeah. world.
Yeah. But I mean, like, kind of cool, right? That they're just changing up little things like that that I think could add to a even more destructive end for these characters.
God. I can't wait for it. I know it's kind of I know it's fucked up, but I like when big shit like that happens in shows and stories. And yeah, I'm very curious to see like how they tackle it. Right, I think that's going to be a lot of heavyweight in terms of performance. Like Henry's character is going to have to act his ass off if they do it similarly as they do in the game. And I'm excited to see them pull it off if they're able to.
Yeah, it is interesting that so far the show, and I guess the game functions this way to an extent as well, but like it really is just like, hey, we met somebody new, and then they die, and then we meet this person, and then they die, and yeah. then we meet them, and they die.
Yeah.
Just over and over and over, and so it's weird that this episode doesn't have that, so it kind of feels like, oh, nothing happened. Like, that's just because like there's not that many characters that can die, but it is interesting with Kathleen's character being introduced. It's like, does she die? Does she live? Or is it just like they're building factions for inevitable factions?
There it is. Hey, there it is.
I bet she dies.
You think she dies?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. At the hands of who, Greg? clickers?
Yeah, I think the infected will take them down. We'll see.
I think Joel Miller did it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think he's going to put a gun to her head and let that thing sing.
Anything else we want to bring up before we wrap up this episode?
I want to bring up the different way in which the whole Ellie saving Joel thing went down. Because in the game, it was in the hotel, the hotels earlier, right? Where Joel's being, I think, like choked by this dude, and I think being drowned at the same time. And Ellie comes through, shoots him. And Joel and Ellie's back and forth in the game is way more hostile than it is in the show, right? Where Joel's like, you know, kind of upset that Ellie had to do that to save him. Whereas in the show, I liked the way that they had Pedro play this version where he is like, he's more sad and upset at himself for putting himself in a scenario where Ellie had to shoot this guy. And like he never brings up the fact that Ellie smuggled a gun, right? After he told her countless times that she's not gonna have a weapon.
It was the right call, right?
Yeah, it was the right call. But even in the game, it was the right call. Jill still got upset. But I think them putting Joel in like them balancing the idea of, hey, Joel can still be likable and also still be this, you know, emotional, kind of soft dude who has to harden up because of the times that he's in, while also having the back and forth of him talking about, like, yeah, like, I'm not entirely a good person, right? Like, yeah. I've gone after the innocent. I've done this. I've done that. I think they're balancing it pretty well in the show.
I appreciate them making him fallible. And he's always been fallible, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, even the end of the episode, right, with putting the glass down. I can hear him if they come in. I can't hear your right side, yada, yada. And then, you know, the cut to him having to yell Joel because he's laying on his good ear, right ear up. And, like, Sam and Henry are there with guns, right? Like, I thought that was really a nice little touch.
Yeah, I thought that was great, too. And I love the little lines of dialogue of the I'm not good at this. Yeah, you really aren't. You shouldn't have had to do this. And then the theme kicks in. It's just like, damn. Like, they're really doing a good job making Joel even more humanized. And I think, like, potentially a better version of the character overall that feels, I think, truer maybe to the Vision. And I think overall what I am appreciating about the show is it does feel like a second swing at the same story.
Sure.
Like, it very much just feels like the director's cut of something that we know so well, but it's still exactly in line with everything, even if they make a bunch of changes here and there. But the video game aspects of it that I thought were cool, like even towards the end where he ends up knifing the guy instead of wasting a bullet, because it's like, you need the bullets, you need the ammo. Like, the way they even talk about conserving ammo in this is so cool, because I hate to always go back to Walking Dead. I guess I don't, because I do it all the time. But they don't deal with that type of stuff. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, there was the whole plot of having to make bullets and stuff, but it always just feels like there is endless rations out there for them to be able to get. I liked this, seeing them get the gas, making reference to it.
Every hour,
to be like, I just love that we are in this 20 years later world, so it allows us to have cool lore stuff for how the apocalypse has been, as opposed to majority of stories like this, it's just giving you're learning as the characters learn it, so I appreciate that.
What was up with the sinkhole?
My thoughts there were that's where the bloater is underneath. Mm-hmm. I would also think that, and this is me cheating a bit because we've seen the bloater come out of the hole, I'm assuming there's like a underground network of infected crawling, right? If the fungus is underground going places, it makes sense that the people who don't need to breathe or you know, the infected that don't need to breathe are also using underground stuff like highways occasionally. And so you assume if they're crawling underneath there, they're rattling that, and it's only a matter of time before one puts his head up and realizes, oh, I'm in a room, I can come up this way. Mm. I assume that's my assumption.
Yeah, I think you're right, but that is weird, right? But that is a drastic shift from what we know, but they've set it up. The network has
to worry about this later. And the way Perry looks at her, like, again, like, you idiot, but I'll follow your orders.
The ground is moving. What do you mean?
Yeah, that shit was
maybe
wild.
We shouldn't hunt the people who, you know, had maybe something to do with the death of your brother and instead deal with this fucking sinkhole full of infected. if we're talking, obviously, as we've confirmed many times on this show, spoilers includes both this game, Left Behind, and Part 2. I thought an interesting topic of discussion, Timothy, was the one, the only, Paul Tassi over at Forbes today put up an article titled, "The Walking Dead Makes Me Worried About The Last of Us Season 2. You should go read it over on Forbes or, you know, go to Paul's Twitter and get a link there. The thrust of it, though, is the fact that so many people dropped off Walking Dead when Negan showed up and beat the shit out of Glenn. And Abraham, right? Spoilers for The Walking
Dead. Spoilers.
Sorry. Goddamn. Fuck you guys. Come on. Really? Who's like still making their... Anyways. The question here being for Last of Us, how do they handle, Joel's death at the hands of Abby in season two, if that's the case.
I think an interesting thing to point out is there's a little bit of revisionist history when it comes to the people walking off of Walking Dead thing, where it wasn't the Negan episode. It wasn't episode one. It was about four or five episodes into that season when it was like, oh, we're really just milking this Negan thing, the torture shit, forever. Mm-hmm. Daryl's in this fucking easy street place forever. And I think that's the point. Like, you could see the numbers of the ratings drop off after like episode five or six of that season.
Sure.
So I think that Last of Us is going to avoid that because we know they don't do that. We know that the story immediately gets interesting. And like, even just following the plot of the game, it's like, sure, that shocking moment happens. And yes, the discourse is going to be terrible online when it happens. But for anybody that keeps watching the show, it immediately turns into a revenge plot that's interesting. And you're with Ellie and you're like, Ellie and Dina, let's fucking go. Like, they give you such great character moments immediately there.
Yeah.
You believe in them. There's stakes. You care about their protection, all that stuff. And then, boom, they're thrust into this adventure that I think from the beginning, from the giddy up, Greg, is exciting.
Cool. Okay. I'm with you. That's, I mean, I dropped off Walking Dead in the, I stuck through the Easy Street stuff. And then it was, yeah, when they were in a fog storm and Rick was on top of like a FedEx truck and Negan was, they were, I'm like, I'm just done. I can't do this every week.
I stuck with Walking Dead, I think maybe a season or two past that, but I did, I think the Negan episode did leave a bad taste in my mouth because I was looking forward to that. That was the thing that I heard comic book readers talk about all the time. Oh, wait until Negan, wait until they introduce, oh man, Negan's about to be off the chain. And then I got there and I was like, I don't feel good after that. Like, this made me feel bad. And like, the more I watched the season, the more I was like, I don't like this anymore. I think it's all about translating it to TV as best as you can, right? Because like, again, I think Last of Us 1 as a video game, I think it's just a great story and works so well being adapted to TV because it's straightforward and it's great. Last of Us Part 2, I think for me, does that to me is a video game story. That to me is a story that I would say works better because they are putting you in the shoes of these characters. You are controlling them. You are having to like start your upgrade tree and do all these things, right? I think that stuff hits different people in different ways. For me, a lot of that hit for me because it was a video game. I wouldn't mind them finding ways to remix it or find ways in which that can translate better to TV because I could see the idea of, hey, first 15 minutes, you know, you spoilers, like we said, right? You murder Joel and then, like, people have to sit with that. And, like, I could see you messing around with that, maybe introducing Abby earlier, maybe giving you more of a connection to that character before everything flips. I don't have the solution, but I could see them doing something.
I can list the problems.
It.
I don't know how to
solve. I don't know how to fix these problems.
I like the Chef Boyardee line. 20-year-old Chef Boyardee. That guy was good.
I also had that written down. Yeah, the Chef Boyardee line cracked me up.
There's also just so much great imagery. Like, the cinematography of the show is fantastic, and I love seeing, like, as they were driving, just like all the landscapes that we're getting of like how the world is now. And like, there's shots of like a bridge that was like broken with the train on it, and the train's like hanging off, and it's just like such good shit where they just linger on it for like 2 seconds, but it fills your mind with like,
it's one of those like every frame's an art or every frame is art or some shit like that, right? Because there was that there. I'd like just the simple one of like the Love's truck stop sign being all fucked up and stuff. It's like all the stuff we know from road trips in our life, right? But to see it 20 years later and destroyed,
This is a line that I thought was a little bit cheesy, but still worked on me, is Ellie being like, they're not Fredra and they're not Fireflies. So who are they? And Joel being like, they're people.
Yeah.
Right? I was like, all right, I get it. But also, I kind of dig it.
I like them in the woods, too. You know, again, Ellie dropping her guard a bit and being like, those people wouldn't find us here, right? And him being like, no, they wouldn't. And she goes to bed and he gets back up and is just on guard, like just staring into the darkness. Like, I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
great episode.
Yeah, totally. Tommy and Marlene, like the name drops there, like I thought is cool because the Tommy story being different, I really wonder how is gonna that's all gonna come into play. Because again, we're talking about, we don't have too many episodes left. We do have a fair amount of runtime left to get through the rest of it, but I'm interested if the Tommy like dam storyline is going to be a lot quicker or like.
I think that has to be setting up for season two.
Yeah. Right?
Like, hey, let's give them a little bit more backstory so that when we make that jump forward, it makes more sense, right? With the Last of Us games, I think you have how many years? 7 years between those games, something like that, to where you get there and you're like, yeah, okay, cool, we're at Tommy's place. But I think in the show, with the idea that season two might only be a year or a couple years away, you might want to make that transition a little bit more smooth.
It's like 4 or 5 years in between part one and part two.
In, like, real time? In, like, real lifetime or in the game?
in the game.
Okay. I was talking about like real life. Oh. Like as an audience, we had such
gotcha.
Yeah, time between those.
What's the main plot point of the dam? Like, what's the story beat of that?
That Ellie, well, that Joel gets there and is basically going to deliver Ellie to the dam so that Tommy Screw can do the rest of the delivery, and Ellie doesn't like that because, like, they built this connection, and she's just like, oh, man, I've been passed around, and, like, you know, I built a connection with you, and now you want to pass me off. And, like,
it's the beat of them finally committing to each other as, like...
Everyone except like fucking you!
Yeah, like a friendship.
God, I can't wait.
You know, yeah.
A kinship.
Do you think that, like, the show is set up for that to hit that way, though? Like, because it feels right now, it doesn't feel like he's going to drop him off with them, right? It feels like he's trying to...
I think it is, because I think he's going to get there, and he's going to do the whole thing, and Tommy, and he'll be like, all right, cool, they're going to take you the rest of the way, and it'll be him that last-ditch attempt to cut this off and not have it be that thing, and then break her heart, and then, yeah, they'll get into the shenanigans they get into, and they come back, and, you know, are you okay, but when he'll be back on.
Yeah, because right now, correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, unlike the game, he's trying to get to Tommy, and he's trying to get her somewhere else, but it's not the same thing, it's just the same direction?
Yeah. Right?
Like, the goal's not in the game.
The goal is to get to Tommy. His original goal was to get to Tommy to make sure Tommy's safe. Now he's got this added baggage. So now it's to get Ellie to Tommy, make sure Tommy's safe, and then talk to Tommy about what do you know about the rest of the Fireflies? This girl's supposed to get to them. And I think that'll be the conversation of, yeah, they're out in Seattle. They're out, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. I can take her. Don't worry. And it'll be that thing of him like, okay, yeah, you do it. And then it'll be like, what the fuck? Why are you leaving me? And then we'll get into the shenanigans.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, we will be reacting to the rest of these episodes. We're going to stick to our schedule of every Monday at 9 a.m., even though this week's episode will be coming out Friday instead of Sunday because of the Super Bowl. So a couple days later for this reaction stuff. But hey, that just gives me a chance to watch the episode more than once, which I'm pretty excited about doing. Let us know in the comments below what you thought about this episode, what your theories are for the rest of the season. And like I was telling you earlier, check out all the cool stuff happening on In Review, happening on the Kinda Funny game side of things, and the Fast 10 trailer, 8 a.m. on Friday. But until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.